scripture this evening comes from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 37. If you have one of the Bibles in front of you underneath the chairs, it can be found on page 1073. Let's stand together to honor the reading of God's word as we contemplate Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. John 19, verses 28 through 37. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
In John chapter 10, John records Jesus saying, "I have come that you might have life, and life abundant." In chapter 11, Jesus bumps into Martha just outside the city of Bethany, and he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." In chapter 6, Jesus says to the crowd that he has just fed with loaves of bread and fish, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again." These are words of life. These are words of encouragement. These are words that proclaim that we find life in Jesus Christ. Yet I wonder, as all these people were gathered at the foot of the cross, I wonder as they looked up at that cross where Jesus hung bloodied and bruised and beaten and dying, I wonder what those words of life were like in their head. Did some, like the guards, look back at those words of life and use them to mock Jesus? Did they look up at him and say, "Hey there, Mr. Resurrection and Life. How you doing now?" Did others that were gathered there, did they begin to doubt? Did they think to themselves, "I thought this guy said that he was life. I thought that he said he was the resurrection. How is it that he's dying on a cross?" Maybe others grew confused. Maybe they cried out to God and said, God, help me figure this out. Jesus, the guy that I watched do miracles, the guy that raised Lazarus from the dead, he's dying on a cross. How do I connect these dots? It must have been a confusing scene. John has just walked us through the first part of his gospel. We watched as Jesus turned water to wine. He healed a cripple. He healed the official's son, daughter. He walked on water. When the storm came up, he calmed the waves with his voice. When people were hungry, he took a few loaves of fish and bread, or two loaves of bread and fish, and he multiplied them and fed thousands of people. He encountered a man that was born blind, and somehow he gave him sight again. And just a chapter earlier, he stood before Lazarus's tomb. Lazarus had been in there 4 days. It was starting to smell. And Jesus used his voice and said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus left death and re-entered life. It must have been confusing there to connect those dots of this miracle worker who brought life and now was hanging on a cross, dying. John wants us to know that we find life in Jesus' death. John wants us to know that the only way that we will find life is through the death of Jesus Christ. That somehow in this mystery, that Jesus dying on the cross would bring us life. This miracle. And John helps us put this together by bringing us back to the Passover. He does this 3 ways in this passage. First, John just identifies it. This is the time of the Passover. This is preparation day. This is the day that everybody went about and went to market and bought the foods they needed for the Passover feast and did the work around the house to straighten up for company. This was preparation day for Passover. John tells us it's Passover. And we know this because the Jews don't want the dead men hanging on the crosses there during Passover. That's why they go to the Romans and they say, hey, can you speed up this process? It says in Deuteronomy that we can't celebrate Passover with these 3 men hanging here on this cross, dying or dead. So can you speed things up a little? The Roman guards grab their clubs and they walk over to the first robber that's hanging next to Jesus on a cross and they break his legs. And no longer will that man be able to push up for air, but with broken legs, he'll sink lower and suffocate more quickly. The Roman soldier goes over to the second man next to Jesus and breaks his legs too, ensuring a quicker death, an earlier disposal of the body so that the Passover feast can be celebrated. But the soldier then goes over to Jesus. And he looks up and he notices that Jesus has already died. That Jesus has said it is finished and breathed his last breath and given up his spirit. And John makes it very clear that the soldier doesn't break Jesus' legs. That too is a symbol and a sign that points us back to the Passover. Back in Exodus chapter 12, God describes the rules for the Passover feast, and he says, make sure you grab a Passover lamb and that you don't break any of its legs. It cannot have a broken bone. See, John is taking us at the scene of the cross where people are confused of connecting these stories of life and these miracles that Jesus performed and his death on the cross. And he brings us to the Passover and specifically says, Jesus is your Passover lamb. He does it a third time. It says in the beginning of the verses that Travis read that Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And that he took a sponge and they dipped it in some sour wine and they stuck it on the end of a hyssop branch. And they held it up to Jesus so that he could drink from it. A hyssop branch. At first glance, that means nothing. And second glance, you may start arguing, well, could a hyssop branch really hold this sponge? Is it long enough? Is it rigid enough? But John's not trying to get into a debate about the structure of a plant. He's bringing us once again back to the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, Moses says to the elders, he says, grab some hyssop branches, dip them in the blood from the lamb, and spread them on the doorposts of your home so that when death arrives in Egypt, it will pass over you. Three times John is bringing us back to the Passover, the time when the Israelites are in Egypt. For over 400 years, they're slaves. They're beaten down. They're tired. Slavery to them is the same as death. And they cry out for a Savior to rescue them. And God brings Moses. And through Moses, God changes Pharaoh's mind to release these people, the Israelites, from slavery. The final sign gets Pharaoh to the point where he releases his people from the bondage of slavery. As God goes and through Moses tells Pharaoh, hey, tonight I'm going to pass through Egypt. And all the firstborn will die. Pharaoh, your firstborn will die. Even down to the slave woman, her firstborn will die. Even to the cattle, their firstborn will die. As usual, Pharaoh brushes him off, and Moses leaves angry, and he gathers the elders of the Israelites together, and he says, here's the plan. Go and find a Passover lamb, a perfect lamb, an unblemished lamb. Don't break any of its bones. Take that lamb and kill it. Save the blood and eat the meat. And Moses says, eat every last piece of it. Don't let one bit of it go to waste. And after you have feasted on the Passover lamb, take those hyssop branches, dip them in the blood, and wipe them on the doorposts of your home. The Israelites did this. And that night, God passed through Egypt. And Scripture tells us that you could hear the crying and the wailing as mothers and fathers discovered their firstborn children dead. But the Israelites were safe. The blood of the Passover lamb had saved them. And the next day, Pharaoh called Moses to him and said, you're right, Moses, just get my people out of here. Because of the blood of the Passover lamb that saved them, they were able to leave slavery and cross into the land of milk and honey, the land of abundant life. John wants us to see there at the foot of the cross that we find life through the death of Jesus Christ. That only through the death of Jesus can we find life because he is our Passover lamb. In the first chapter of John, John records as John the Baptist is baptizing men and women in the Jordan River. And as Jesus walks by John the Baptist stops what he's doing and he points at Jesus and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world." That even from the beginning of John's gospel, we know that Jesus has come to give us life through his death. John 10:10 says, "I have come to give you life and life abundant." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst again." We find life in the death of Jesus Christ because he is our Passover lamb.